Welcome to Life on the Illinois Prairie. Your host is Wendy Fleming Dexter, and after 30 years living in small town Illinois, she has stories to tell. Past cornfields and factories, into the heart of Amish country. There's more here than what meets the eye, far beyond what you think you know. So buckle up and stay tuned. This is Life on the Illinois Prairie.
Hi, and welcome to this episode of Life on the Illinois Prairie. I'm your host, Wendy Fleming Dexter. If you live anywhere in the Mattoon, Charleston, Coles County, Illinois area, you will know the name of my next guest, and a lot of people probably from a lot further away than that will know this man's name. He and his family have been in business in Mattoon for quite a long time. I would like to welcome Bernie DeBure to the show. Bernie, thank you for being here.
Well, now I'm glad to be here. I know we kind of took a long time to put this show together, but we finally got hooked up, and I'm excited to visit with you on this and hopefully can tell you what I know.
Well, you know, we've talked about it in the grocery store aisle and all sorts of different places getting together. And last week we tried to get it going. And, you know, there's always connectivity issues that happen here and there. But like you said, here we are. And I'm eager to hear more of your story about your family and the history that your family has brought to Mattoon. So to kick things off, would you mind just giving a little history, a little background about you and your background in Mattoon?
I was born and raised in Mattoon. I was born February 1st, 1960. So at that time, my mom and dad, they actually lived upstairs over at the store. So I guess as my dad would always say, dad was born upstairs, my dad was. And I lived upstairs from 2 days after I was born. So we haven't gotten very far in life. I guess this is as far as I've gotten in life is doing what I do. But went to Mattoon schools. I went to Bennett School through sixth grade, Central Junior High through that then they call it ninth grade. It wasn't freshman year. Ninth grade, and 3 years at Mattoon High School, and 2 years at Lakeland College. I went 2 years to Western Illinois, and majored in ag marketing. Upon graduation, I had this other job kind of lined up with a company down in Louisiana doing grain marketing, but I had to go back for a fall semester and got sidetracked. So I graduated midterm in December. So I came back, worked here some at the store kind of part-time, and next thing you know, that part-time job became a full-time job. And we started getting busy for the springtime. Back at that time, back in the early 80s, we sold a lot of clover seed. Was a big thing. That kind of got us through the early part of springtime. These farmers all bought clover seed for cattle and so forth, which we got busy earlier, I guess, in springtime. So we got busy doing that. And next thing you know, I got hooked up with my old buddies again. Next thing I met a gal from Charleston. Next year, I got married. And next thing, 39 years flies by, and here I am, you know. So, but the Lord had plans I didn't have, I guess. That's kind of how I look at it, you know.
Well, yeah.
But my plans weren't his plans, so.
Right.
It's been a good life.
Well, yeah, and you know, you've been such an important part of the history, and your family's been a large part of the history of Mattoon. You have a long legacy, your feed and seed store, so. And back, how did it start out? What did they sell a lot of, what did they sell in the beginning, Bernie? Do you know what they did sell and how, who the first generation that came to Mattoon, can you kind of talk a little bit about that?
It was my great-grandfather. My great-grandfather came from Germany to Minnesota. I don't know the exact time and so forth, but he came to Mattoon, then left was down by Alton, Illinois, then by East Alton, then Denton, Illinois, down to Martin, Tennessee, then came back to Mattoon to start this feed business. His first time in Mattoon, he was the ran the actual farm for the Oddfellows at the time. They had their own farm out there, and they raised, of course, all their own garden crops. So they had their cattle out there. That's all things that he did when he was here the first time. And then, but he was, I tell people all the time, he was heading Mattoon to down to Alton, down to Denton, Illinois, down to Martin, Tennessee. He was heading the right direction. What would have sounded good of DeBure's Feed and Seed in Key West. That never happened, you know.
Never quite made
so
it.
So he ended up in Mattoon. Yeah. So he came here and that was back in 1914. We started, as far as what things they sold, a lot of the same things we sell now. Of course, garden things were a big thing back then. Garden plants, garden seed were, of course, the big thing at that time. This whole flower was a big thing. Some produce up here, but they sold live whole chickens. You know, the people would come in to buy for like their Sunday meals, and so they would sell whole chickens to be dressed at that time.
Oh, wow.
That was a big thing. You know, we got those hanging scales back on by our back door. There's some scales hanging from the ceiling back there, and these little scales actually back then to weigh the chickens on.
Oh, really?
My dad always talked about, you know, he would be up here on Fridays and Saturdays weighing these chickens. That whole back part of the middle room was live chickens. And he had to weigh this one for Mrs. This person, had to weigh this one. He said, you know, by the time the day was over, he could tell you what every chicken weighed just by weighing these chickens all day long for people, you know. But that's what we did. You know, they did back then. So, that kind of evolved. Of course, I always sold farm seed for a lot of years, of course, but the clover seed's always been a big thing. And everybody had livestock back then at the time. Even in town, I mean, back when I was younger, there were certain parts of town that were not actually part of Mattoon, but I would deliver like chicken food to people, certain parts of Mattoon, because they had chickens in their backyard. Because out like in the Grant Park area at the time, there were several homes out there that I would take people chicken food, so forth.
So you can actually provide, besides that, you can provide information to customers about what is the proper way to improve their soil or things to add, different things in their gardening. You have a lot of expertise in that area, right? That you can advise people on.
We have a lot of lawn business. We've done lawn business for a lot of years with the proper chemicals to use to on the fertilizer the yards with, or to control weeds. You know, that's a big thing. You know, the last several years, I mean, there's weeds every year, but some years you get certain, like this year, crabgrass is everywhere. You know, people coming in wanting to know what to do about the crabgrass in their lawns. You know, it seems like after so many years, some of these weeds get kind of immune to the products that are on the market, so they come out with new chemicals to kill, like clover, creeping Charlie. Some of these weeds get kind of hard to kill, so these new chemicals come out, and we're able to lead people to the right products for their needs, that stuff. So,
and you also in the springtime you have the seedlings and things for planting in your garden.
We do. That's one thing we've been selling since the beginning. There's live bedding plants. I like the difference now is just that all the different varieties of tomatoes we have versus what we had even 20 years ago. I mean, you know, I grew up, you know, you had Big Boys, Better Boys, Rutgers tomatoes, just maybe a half a dozen types of tomatoes. Now you got, you know, you had red, white, pink geraniums. Well, now you got like four types of red geraniums and, you know, four shades of white petunias and variegated leaf this, you know, so it makes, you know, we have to keep more inventory on hand, but we're lucky to have more than one supplier on plants to keep stuff in here as the demand gets here that time of year on that stuff. So we got two, sometimes three trucks a week coming in here. So we're able to keep what people want. We're able to special order plants for people too as well, spring. But that's a big thing. It always has been. You know, the garden seed in the springtime is still a big, big thing. You know, we still sell a lot of bulk garden seed. I think people like to see their garden seed come out of we got this old seed cabinet up here that's been up here from the beginning. I don't know. My dad always told me that his granddad, which was his dad, they bought that seed cabinet for $100. I don't know where it came from, but he always talked like that was a little post office box is what he was told is what it was. He was got the drawers for the garden seed, and but he paid $100 for that, according to my dad. And that was, of course, back before his time. But and the old cash register on the counter, I guess that they give them that for free. You know, so it's kind of interesting. So
threw it in, huh?
That cash register there's a little sticker on the bottom of that cash register drawer that tells it was made in 1895 was the date it was made.
Oh.
And it's a national cash register, and it's got the guy's name on there that sold it to whoever bought it originally. So it's kind of neat to see that on the bottom there.
Wow.
across the front. It had that marble plate across the front there for years. And we got broken into. I don't know. It's been several years ago. So these guys, they came through the roof. We got those plastic skylights. Well, they climbed the fire escape. They came down through the roof, and the drawer was open. But they took a hammer or something, and they hit that piece of marble and broke it.
Oh, no.
We still have it. Have the pieces here, but you couldn't repair it. So, that was always kind of an aggravation.
Well, sure. Over the years, you've told me that there have been three expansions, if I understood you earlier when we talked one day, that it had expanded into the place where you are now. So you have the three different rooms. Did I remember that correctly?
Exactly. Yeah, we started, back to the 1914 date, we started in what we call the middle room, I guess. That's just the middle section. I'm not sure what we call the farmer house is what we call it, I guess. It's just how we refer to things up here. But I'm not sure what was ever in there at any one time. I don't know for 100% sure, but I think the Walker's food store started in where our warehouse is many years ago. So there was a grocery store in there at one time. And our side parking lot did have buildings in there at one time. They went halfway back. You can see like on our east wall there, you can see like a tar line that goes halfway back on the building. So they were like, just like a welding shop that was near years ago, Gil Capen Welding. I just remember that name. I don't know who that person there would have been. But back in 1895, this building was built as a saloon. So our main building was a saloon. The upstairs were just sleeping quarters. Actually, there's an apartment upstairs that has not been used since my grandmother lived up there. She passed away in 1966, and she lived with us for maybe a year when I was younger until she passed away. So, it's probably been 50 years or 60 years since Bonnie lived up there. But this was a pretty notoriously pretty rough place. This night saloon, the stories that my dad always heard his granddad talk about, just because they were right next door. They were and he saw things that went on. You don't find much about night saloon. I've talked to Chris Sertick about it. He's looked and looked, at the library for different things. There's just not a whole lot out there. Which I've seen very very few pictures. I know Chris has spent time looking, I know just from things I've always heard, it was kind of a pretty rough place, I know one time I was reading the Mattoon Journal Gazette. It must have been like in, 2002 or 2000, whenever, anyway. But there was a thing 100 years ago today, glancing back column, Wild Willie Knight, which was the guy's name was J.W. Knight, that started the saloon. He had two sons. Back the front of our store, you can see on the top brick line, there's a J.W. block and there's W.H. on both sides. J.W. Knight was the guy that had the saloon, and he had two sons that were their initials. But one was they call Wild Willie Knight, they called him. And, but this glancing back article in the Mattoon paper at one point said that Wild Willie Knight from the notorious Knight Saloon Gang wanted to open up a saloon in Casey, Illinois, and something to the liking that he was denied the honor and privilege because everywhere that Knight name popped up, all the riffraff that followed, so they wouldn't let. But I know one time my dad always talked about me when he just was a lot younger, and this whole area was kind of a rough area. When he was younger, he would have to help ladies cross the street to shop our store, even after saloon was closed, just because it has such a reputation along here that him and his dad would actually escort female shoppers across the street to come in. Like I said, at that time, it wasn't, to my knowledge, rough then, but it had that reputation in that part of town,
Mattoon being established as a railroad town, it would have a lot of history of drinking and some rough characters dropping in at times, I'm sure, because just covering the railroad system was a lot of people coming in. And
in fact, our upstairs got to be kind of in disarray over the years, and I was up there probably 5 years ago and got throwing stuff away, just taking trash bags and just throwing things away. And I'd be up there by myself several times and just looking around, just trying to picture what went on up here.
Yeah.
Back then.
Yeah, I bet. I bet.
Just what because one room, one long room was four rooms at one time. You can see where they took, there's like four doors in this long hallway that they were taken out. So he had like boarding rooms up there. I don't know what went on. I don't know, but just to go back and spend the day and just see what went on at night saloons.
Sure. Because if you think of, there aren't that many buildings that still have that history. I mean, there are some on Broadway that they're restoring. And I know that, you know, like you could go upstairs over, you know, over Sound Source. Mike Callis has apartments up there, but it's nothing like standing in your building, I'm sure, where you can see and feel those spirits of those bygone days. You know, once you modernize it and cover all that up, you can't, it's different, you know?
Yeah, just walk up the back steps, you know, and just like what, you know, what went on up here back in 1907.
Yeah.
Something. Yeah. Yeah. You know, was it wild and crazy women or just a,
know? Well, and too, then talking about that, one of the questions I had posed to you was that, you know, in the time just since you've been in charge of the store, the things, the changes that have happened, just the fires that have happened in your neighborhood, the when Walker's grocery store burned and when Villa Pizza burned, I mean, those are two of your closest neighbors and I'm sure pretty good friends over the years. To see them go through that, that must have been, what can you tell, you know, other than just being a distressing situation?
Well, both were very, very sad, both were, you know, of course, one resulted in a loss of life, you know, with Walker's, but just, you know, just to see that both those two fires happened, you know, I mean, I didn't know until next morning with the Walker's fire that I walked outside to get my newspaper and my neighbor next door yelled at me and said, too bad about your neighbors down the street. I said, well, I said, Walker's. And yeah, you know, I was thinking Walker's Construction. I don't know what I was thinking about, but that's what came to mind. Like, what happened? It's like, well, Walker's grocery store burned down last night. And I live 6 blocks just from the store. I could look down. I could see all the commotion going on. Like, holy cow. You know, I mean, so I dashed up here. Of course, they were still putting water on it, you know, and that's when I found out all the particulars with it, you know. But like the Villa Pizza fire, I was at home one night. My son, he's hanging out with John's daughter, Brianna, somewhat. You know, they would be together once in a great while. And he had this one friend that always had a police scanner. Well, he was driving that night, and it was about midnight, and this call tone went off for a structure fire at 20th and Western. Of course, they look at each other like, you know, that's...
Oh, no.
You know, that's our parents' area, you know? And they drove up here. Well, my son called me up and on a cell phone. He's got a cell phone, and just, you know, Dad, there's a fire going down at Villa Pizza, and it's not good. I'm like, okay. So I got up here. I'm like, holy cow. I locked the gates, our side gates, so they could get through there. We got that area next door to the house, this tavern, gated off. So we did that. And I just watched that whole fire. In fact, I was with Bob House in my truck. I don't know how that happened, but Bob was in my pickup truck that night. And I looked over, Bob had tears running down his eyes, you know, because I don't know how those guys saved House's tavern like they did, but my guys, they did a fantastic job, you know.
And you it must have crossed your mind too that you guys were vulnerable too, being that close. I mean,
thing was that forecast that night, I recall, was 40 mile an hour winds, and that never happened. But they were forecasting, but they kept putting water on our building. And I told the fire chief at the time and said, I'm not trying to tell you guys what, but our greenhouse, we got 200 bales of straw in that greenhouse that morning, and that was right next to houses. I said, one spark, That thing's going to go up, you know. So they watched that too as well, you know. But it's how they saved houses. I got no idea. It just did a super fantastic job with that, you know. Wasn't meant to be, was it? Houses, I guess they got a purpose.
That's I mean, that's another business that's been in Mattoon for so long, and your dad must have a lot of stories from that place.
Oh, he went there, you know. I mean, you know, that was just kind of what my dad's generation did. I mean, you know, you go into houses, you know, I never did, you know, but, you know, I mean, I was working at home, but that generation, a lot of guys would work and they would go for a beer or two and go home. You know, and houses was the poorest person in town to the richest person in town. They just, and everybody just belonged in there, you know. And it was at the time pretty much just an all men's bar, you know, at the time. Mm-hmm. This is how things were. Then that's how it evolved over time. It just, you know, I mean, way back when, that's how places were.
Sure.
You know?
Sure. Over the years, I heard that people would say it was men only, and they said no, women could come in there, but they just wouldn't serve them.
They just my dad passed away. They started doing something. A few guys had passed away prior to my dad's death that were like houses regulars. You know that they would have like a Saturday afternoon or like maybe like even after the funeral, the family would go up there. You know, just have a beer, just an honor of whoever passed away. And my dad passed away, and dad's doctor in Champaign and him were, they got to be pretty darn close. And his nurse was from that too. His nurse's husband went to houses a lot too. So they organized this thing one afternoon where his doctor came down from Champaign and we all went there. Well, my mom wouldn't go in.
Huh.
And she'd never been in houses, and she'd never looked in the house, so she would not go in. And we finally had to, you know, we got her to go in because that's just how she felt that place was.
Yeah. Kind of honoring the previous, respecting the beliefs of the way it had been all along, you know, I guess.
Yeah. And like I said, they've been fantastic neighbors. We've been side by side for almost equal years, you know. I think they started about the same year we started, I believe. You can ask for better neighbors, you know. They've been fantastic, and hope they feel the same way towards us.
Well, I'm sure they do. I mean, wasn't your dad at one time known as the mayor of Western Avenue? Was that something I just imagined?
Yeah, that's what they always called Dad, was the mayor of Western Avenue. I don't know, I guess because Dad was actually born upstairs. I mean, that's where he was born, in that bay window. Wow. That room is where my dad was.
Wow.
Came to earth that, but he just became known as the mayor of Western Avenue. And after he passed away, they tried to pass that on to me. And like, there's only one of them. And that was him.
Right. You know,
I'm not the new one.
For those of us who are natives to, and I'm sure it's true for any town, but for those of us that grew up in a town and still live there and are associating our roots are here, and just to see, sometimes it's hard to see the changes. Like when you went to Bennett School, I went to Bennett School. It broke my heart when they tore Bennett School down. And yet to see what they've done to that park and what they've made it, I mean, it warms my heart because I can remember the last day of school. I don't know about you guys, but when last day of school, we'd cross the street and go over to the park and have a little picnic in the park.
Oh, yeah.
And that was just such a cool day, you know.
An ice cream truck was there, or somebody was there, you know, and
yeah,
parents came, or, you know, like a picnic day or something, you know.
Yeah, and I just some of those my best memories. We had our 55th class reunion a couple of weeks ago, and I said some of my very best memories are at Bennett School because I can remember going down from class, going down to the lunchroom. I can smell going down the stairs, going down to the lunchroom, which was in the basement.
And the thing was so tiny at the time that the room got to be so tiny over the years too. That lunchroom did.
Oh, it's
a big, big place at one time, but.
Oh, yeah.
My kids went there, you know, I walked down one time, like, this place was like, it wasn't this small when I went here, you know.
Yeah, oh, really?
There was no talking in the lunchroom either. You didn't talk in the lunchroom.
I don't remember that. That's funny. I don't remember that.
Oh, yeah.
What I remember was that, you know, when I went, you know, now they have so many prepared foods and food shipped in, but back when I went through Bennett School, you know, they'd have one day we had macaroni and cheese, and then they'd spinach and a hard boiled egg cut in half. Well, a lot of kids at the table didn't like their spinach, so everybody would pile their spinach on my plate. You know, I don't think I exchanged anything with them because I liked all my food, but it's just such a pleasant memory. But then, you know, you do have to change and evolve and move forward with things, you know, when I look back at this previous generation, though, parents, people like your dad's age, there's so many people in town Bill Hamill, Ken Waddell. I mean, you could name these people on and on and on, people that made Mattoon what it was. Over the years, all the different, I can't even begin to name all the people that were instrumental in making Mattoon what it was.
You can't. There's endless. And that, I mean, after my dad passed away, too, I was talking to Don Friesmeyer one time, and that they kind of came up in conversation. But his whole point was, I mean, there'll become a day like right now, this you know, 15 years later, that these guys will all be gone, and these mm-hmm. people will move to this town and hear these names, but had never had the honor to meet them.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they will never got to meet these people. And I'm talking my dad and everybody, not him, you know, the Bill Hamills and he said the Kim Waddells, and the there's an endless list of people that
there is,
that
there really is.
In this town.
And I think of the we call them sometimes the dandies, but people that a lot of times, Jack Horsley was such a gentleman at the time. You know, you go back to the time where when you'd see somebody and he'd see an article in the paper and he'd send a letter, he'd send a note and he'd say, you know, my wife and I are so happy to see that you're celebrating your anniversary or your birthday. And please know that you're, you know, that's so eloquent. And you just don't see that kind of thing anymore. You know, that kind of respect.
Of course, Bill Hamill would do the same thing. Of course, he ran the Journal Gazette, but Bill Hamill was good about, you know, just, you know, sending typed little notes out on a piece of paper, yeah. He was, of course, he ran the paper, so he had access to that stuff. But we all got the newspaper back then. He'd be at church, and somebody would bring something that your picture is in the paper here. They give it to you, you know, and this is how things were.
A time I'm glad we have to look back on, but I feel sorry for the people coming up that don't. Some of the people coming up that don't really care about those times. They don't care about what made the town what it is. And I think that's why it's so valuable to have a place like the Mattoon History Center, where people can go and see all of the history from the beginning of this town and to the changes that are being made. You know,
if you're listening to our conversation with me and Wendy, have you ever been to the library? I saw the museum. You need to go see
yes.
it.
Yes.
Take a few hours sometime and go to the library and see what Chris Sertic has done for this town. It's very, very amazing what he's done. So if you've never gone, go.
Yes. And, you know, you can go down the alley to the next block and visit the original Burger King of the whole country, the original one that has, because it exists, they can't build the chain anywhere for, 20 miles around. So,
you think downtown businesses too. I've always thought, you know, just, I mean, like ourselves, I mean, you know, House has been, you know, Villa Pizza has been downtown for 50 plus years, mm-hmm. Jack of Bill has been downtown for 50 plus years, you know, well, Mike Callis is pushing 40 years. Yeah. Shores Jewelry, you know, those places, there's been a lot of downtown businesses with a lot of coal lumber, the Mattoon Dairy Queen, just a few until they recently sold, a few blocks off of downtown, just still family owned for 60 plus years, you know, it's something that you need to be part of that group, I guess.
It's pretty much an elite group that people that that can be in that something that has that kind of longevity because legacy, because I just feel so sad that people don't recognize what a gift that can be. You know, some people get a business dropped in their lap, or they get a business like, you know, Kelsa could have gone in and taken ownership of houses, and she did take it in a completely different direction, but she could have failed.
Sure.
And she hasn't. She's made it much, and I haven't been there, but I know she's made it a much different, much more of a financial gain than it would have been before.
What's new ideas, like my dad always told me, you know, you give me ideas, I'm ideaed out. You know, I heard that a thousand times, you know, but I don't care if you tell me to make a good ideas to sell a place, invest in gold, I don't care, just give me some ideas. You know, and I'm the same way all my life. I ran this place for, you know, you get the point to where you're out of ideas, you know. So I got in my nephew Derek runs it for us, and his brother works here as well, and these young kids, and I just let them do what they do. They got such great ideas. how to take the store to the new generation, you know,
exactly.
And they've got ideas that I don't see.
Yeah, and I think that getting that fresh blood in there is so important. I mean, you can have the longevity, the legacy, and the history, but if you don't incorporate fresh ideas in there, you're probably going to be in a bad way, because the people coming up, we talked to Jacob Dickey this morning because, you know, he was instrumental in getting community funds distributed to some of the businesses in Mattoon when the do not drink order was in place. And so, you know, he was talking about, they have an app now that you can put on, WCIA has an app that you can put on your smart TV that is a streaming app, and they can put shows and things on there that aren't on regular TV. Because he said, you know, we just have to find a different way. This is the first generation of people coming up that doesn't watch TV and things the way that we did. You know, they're just totally geared a different
right.
way. And so that was another question we talked about a little bit might discuss, was about, you know, the new ideas that the younger people that you have in there helping you get hooked into social media and having different ideas for advertising and different events that you can have.
Of course, social media is the mm-hmm. new thing. You know, I mean, I just am so lucky to have the ones that work here. They're younger generation. They know how to do mm-hmm. it effectively.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can put posts on Facebook, and I don't too much for the store. I let those guys, you know, my staff do all that up here. But they know how to do it properly, how to reach certain markets by
yeah.
doing it. You know, and it's such an effective yeah. job. I mean, our Facebook page, our social media, this does so phenomenal. I don't know what they're doing to make it happen, but we get people in all the time for the first time.
There's an art to the whole thing, that's for sure. They even if it's Facebook or YouTube, you know, you can just you can just throw something out there and it goes nowhere. But you follow kind of the formula of the way they know the algorithm, they know your audience, and they know all the keywords and all those things to get it happening. And it's like, wow, it's the magic sauce that makes it all happen. Speaking of sauces,
like sometimes a few times a year, I'll see a person, they'll pull up out front and they'll do like take selfies out in front of the store. I'm like, well, you know, I mean, to me, that's, you know, I do the same thing. I go to restaurants for yeah. the first time. You know, I take a picture in front of the restaurant. That's kind of my enjoyment. My wife and I, we like to find new places to go eat. Or I'll be at Burger King. I'll see people taking a picture of the Burger
oh, yeah.
King sign. You know, it's, so I'm sure it's their first time
yeah.
going there. It's just, you know, it's kind of something that's kind of neat to, you know, like I said, but these people, you'll see them out front taking a picture, and they'll come in the store and you get talking to them. It's their first time here. See you on Facebook or see you.
It's fun to be able to connect people to part of our history, I think, you know, people that don't know anything about it. So how about the Wednesday market? We haven't talked anything about that. When did that come about, and how when does that start, and how long does it run?
Well, it's been going probably about 6 or 7 years now, I think. It started with the group here in town called Fit to Serve. Fit to Serve is kind of a educational farm to table group here in town that does a great job. They've really grown and they were looking for a place downtown to sell their products, their produce, and they asked us about using our side parking lot where it's kind of fenced in out there on Wednesday afternoon. So I said, that'd be fine. Well, they got doing pretty good out there. Other vendors wanted to join in. I'm like, well, this really isn't the Beer's Feed and Seek. This is, you know, this is Fit to Serve doing this. And at that time, I talked to Bill Dewey about it. I asked him, I said, I don't care. You can tell me no, I can tell them no. But people are asking me about this. And he thought, well, the more the better.
Sure.
It's fine. I mean, I don't want to start telling people yes and have you get mad at me because this has been your thing. And we started getting more vendors. Here come the people with the baked goods and the cookies and, you know, the ones that were allowed to do it. You know, they got the cottage licenses and so forth. And of course, here comes the health department. You know, they made us kind of restructure. Mm-hmm. So we did. That's where the name Celebrate Downtown Mattoon came to be, because it was kind of a name that Mike Callis and I came up with many years ago for our downtown Christmas thing, was Celebrate Downtown Mattoon Christmas. And over the past 5, 6, 7 years, it's kind of evolved into a brand now. So we're doing things downtown, like the music and lunch we did downtown. Mm-hmm. Remember that? You guys played there a few times. And was called Music and Lunch. So we kind of gave it the name Celebrate Downtown at Tune, Music and Lunch, to kind of brand it, you know, all the same thing. So you have to keep the health department, you know, to follow their guidelines. We had to be a recognized market. So that's where the name Celebrate Downtown at Tune market came from. So it, so part of the downtown, what we do, you know, the downtown Mattoon, but it does very well. We, we've had a few vendors this year, less than in years past, but some of our good vendors that were here doing baked goods have either moved away or don't do it anymore. But the ones that show up, you know, they do quite well. You know, at Sand Creek Gardens, they're here almost every week from over Windsor. Juanitos, they bring their tamales up here every week. That's always been a big hit. They bring the fresh tamales. And that's been kind of a big draw. I got a guy coming tomorrow from down by Montrose bringing sweet corn to us. So, but people just kind of show up. They just, they call. There's no rules, no papers to sign. Just kind of show up and set up and tell us you're here, you know. I got this one gal, she brings microgreens each week and does quite well. Like I said, the market here does good. Just kind of the vendor count has been a bit less this year than we would like, you know, but.
Well, I admire anybody who does that. Cause I mean, I started being a vendor up at Broomcorn Festival several years ago when I sold a product called Norwex. And now I only sell my own photographs and note cards and that kind of thing, but it's hard work. Anybody, if you've never set up a booth and a tent, and especially if you're setting up for like a 3-day event like that, is that's hard work loading everything up but so I admire anybody that's doing that. But I think it's the best way, you know, to be able to sell your own homegrown produce and other items.
I try to keep people downtown. You know, that this has been my push for a lot of years. You know, of course, the Celebrate Downtown Mattoon Committee. We do the. Started with our Christmas thing many years ago, almost 20 years ago. Like me and Mike Kalsen and Harold Shores are kind of like the last hanger-oners of some of the early years with the Christmas thing. And Mike called me up. Mike Kalsen called me up probably 7-8 years ago or so with this idea for a trunk or treat. And I was skeptical. I'm like, you know, I mean, I think it might. I don't know, Mike. We can try it. We'll see how it goes. And I was way wrong on that one, Mike. Mike's a visionary. He sees things way up here, big scale. I mean, where I see things, what might be. I mean, Mike's, no, it's going to happen. It's going to be the Mike likes to raise the bar to where we're the Christmas event, we're the Christmas parade, we're the trunk or treat everybody wants to be. And he's done a great job running our committees with that, you know, doing that stuff. But
Trunk or treat is a huge event, but then also. The lighted Christmas parade has turned into something also very big, hasn't it?
Very big, yeah. We started, of course, we had the COVID year in between there that kind of set us back. But no, that lighted parade is quite the thing to see. The thing with ours is we don't let just anybody enter with the strand lights on the pickup truck. It's got to be a certain number of lights. Like 2,000 lights is what we require per entry. So it's got impact. It's not just a person pulling a wagon with some, you know, it's got to be, have an impact on the people watching the parade. It's got to be, have the wow factor to it, I guess.
Right. Because it's going to be at night, and it has to set itself apart rather than a parade in the daytime where you'd get away with just having a sign on your vehicle and, you know, it's few people walking behind. It's not that's not going to quite fly at night when it's cold and everybody's trying to warm up.
And Hans Warner kind of organizes the parade. I mean, he's kind of our parade person. Hans Warner is, and he does such a great job. You know, with the with his ability to get people to sign up online.
Mm-hmm. I think then Michelle Skinlow did it for quite a while, didn't she? Michelle used to be Michelle Kiger. She did it, I think, several years of parades. Maybe I'm mistaken.
Yeah, but not our parade, but she did the daytime parade. Yeah, she was a part of that. That's been our own parade since the beginning. This has. Well, some people think that we're the ones that quit doing the daytime parade. Well, we get a lot of slack sometimes with that. Why don't you guys do? Well, this is our parade. This is the Celebrate Downtown Mattoon Christmas parade. This, you know, so the city's own parade. They're the ones who tourism that chose not to have the daytime parade. They have their reasons. And
Now you're an animal lover. You have cats there at the store. How many cats do you have now? How many residents?
Oh, we got two cats now. We had three at one time. One died of old age. She was the calico cat. Greta was her name. She died last winter. She was probably 17 years old. She just died of old age. We had that yellow cat. His name was Ed, and he got ran over, which was a sad day.
Yeah.
That's a pretty tough deal because he was notorious to wander. I mean, everybody knew him. He would go to at the time, County Market, and we'd get a phone call. He'd be in the meat department over there. You know, but they would call laughing. He'd be over summers. I know during project graduation, he was over there the whole time. And he had a name tag on. I bet we had 10 phone calls from people at project graduation that saw a cat with a name tag. You know, but he knew where home was. And then we got one cat now. And we got his name's Tim. He's been up here for 5 or 6 years. He's one that he's on the counter all the time. Everybody gets to see him. We have a new white kitten. She's maybe about a year old. She's up here too. Her name's Karen. Oh, the white cat. Her name's Karen.
Okay.
Is her name.
People, that's the other thing that's such a joy for many people is that they can bring their animals in there. They can bring their, I know that people bring their dogs in, take their dogs in there all the time. What other kind of, have you had any unusual critters brought in there?
Oh, I've had pythons in here, and I've had pot-bellied pigs in here. I've had a miniature horses in here. I had a goose in here a few weeks ago. Just about everything you can think of, and people are welcome to bring them in, you know. Of course, the main things are our dogs, but, I've had more than one person bring in snakes over the years, and I've got to hold them. You got me kind of not scared of snakes like I used to be, I guess, but they're...
That's funny. Let's see. Do you have any suggestions or things that you'd like to see done in Mattoon, you think, Bernie? Or are you leaving that up to the next generation?
Well, I think Mattoon is going good. I think, you know, the downtown is doing fantastic, you know. You drive downtown now versus 15 years ago, you know, it's downtown Mattoon is a destination now. A lot of, several very good restaurants downtown. There are clothing stores downtown. You got boutiques downtown. Mattoon flower shops downtown. You got some really nice places to go downtown. Reasons to go, I guess, to downtown. But there's lots of cars downtown anywhere you go through. You know, at 10 o'clock in the morning, there's cars both sides of the street.
Yeah.
A few times we've had our downtown, Celebrate Downtown meetings at the library. And I had to circle the block a few times to find a place to park, which is a good thing.
Yeah, that's true. That is very true. Mattoon has taken, there's so much negativity that is, especially it comes across on social media. But I think it's just really important for those of us to try to see that there are things, so many good things coming up. I mean, you know, I think we talked that day when I talked to you out in front of the store that there's so much going on the east side of town, things that are being built and business, you know, a new business coming in. But if all those people that are coming into town to go to maybe Emerald Acres, my understanding is that when there are sporting events, those traveling events, they might have a game at 8 o'clock in the morning and not have another game at 8 o'clock at night. So, you know, that I think it's called the Compass that they have for Coles County, and you probably are advertised in it because almost all the Coles County businesses are, to give people an idea where they can go and see something totally, you know, unique and spend something learning about the town and have something to do to pass that time, you know.
Well, like our Celebrate Downtown Mattoon page, I mean, we get messages often that people will asking us what things are to do in Mattoon. You know, it's kind of funny how we're getting to be kind of a recognized name, Celebrate Downtown Mattoon. This is where people will come to us looking for, you know, for a reference as far as, we had one the other day, a person was wanting to know what the She had a 1-year-old, 4-year-old. I mean, what are some things Matt Toon to do, you know?
Number
one, the library's got some great options there.
True.
Douglas Heart Nature Center is a great place. Of course, you got some great parks in Matt Toon.
Our parks are beautiful. And Lytle Park with our pool, which is still quite amazing to me that we have the beauty of that pool in our little, and it is a little town, but it's not little enough to know everybody, but you can certainly, if you want to, you can meet some very nice people in this town still.
Pretty good place to live, Matt Toon is.
I do think so. I am glad you think so too, Bernie. Is there anything else you'd like to share that you're just dying to get out? If not, you know, we can have you come back if you think of something to say. I wish I'd have said that. If you think some more of your dad's stories.
Oh, I mean, I should have a library of stories with him. I just don't recall that many of them. You know, I know he.
Well, don't worry about that.
About how this was a pretty rough part of town when he was growing up. You know, he always would joke about if you lived on Western and you didn't have false teeth growing up, you were a sissy. That's always his kind of big joke, you know.
That's hilarious. That's hilarious.
He didn't have false teeth, but that's just kind of, that was one of his things.
Didn't you, at one time, did you judge the Bow Wow contest at Bagel Fest? Do you still do that?
We did that for 30 years. We organized the Bagel Bow Wow contest for 30 years. They had it downtown, and they took Bagel Fest to the park, and I'm not sure who organized it prior to us, but they asked us to take it over, and I agreed to. So I just kind of, at the time, Lois Love is the one that called me. I remember that and asked me to do it. And I threw some names out to be judges, and I didn't know what to do. So, at that time, Mars Pet Care was really, really a big part of that deal. I mean, they would pull up with pickup trucks full of cases of treats to pass out. Whoever showed up got something,
wow.
You know, and so that drew a big crowd, just people to get the free stuff, but also to watch the Bow Wow contest. We had 30 good years of that. I guess what got me about 3-4 years ago, I was doing the Bow Wow contest, and I was 61 or 62 at the time. And the gal announcing, Melissa Harden, was announcing it, and she just mentioned, this is the 30th year that De Beers has done this. And I looked out in the audience, and I saw my son, who was 31, and here I was, 61. I'm like, that's the age I was when I started doing this.
Wow.
I was his age. He had his 1-year-old daughter in the stroller with him. And I'm like, the age that he was when I was his age 30 years ago.
Wow.
I said, that's long enough, you know, so we passed the torch on to Doggy Depot. They've done a fantastic job with it as well. They did a great job with it.
It's one of those things. You just got to know when it is, as you said, time to pass the torch. You know, we can hold on to these things as long as we are as long as we're useful and have something to offer. But then when it's time for the next generation to pick it up, and hopefully they got the tools and the skills to run far with it too.
I mean, I volunteered this town, you know, like so many others have as well, you know, and back to the Celebrate Downtown Matt Toon thing. I hate to keep going back to that, but that's just what me and Harold and Mike talk about sometimes. You know, we've got some people coming up behind us to kind of not replace us, but kind of to take charge now.
Yeah.
You know, it's been our gig for a lot of years. This stuff has, we're not young. I'm 65. Right. Harold's 60. I think Mike's 60, you know, and there's a few young people stepping up to ramrod what we've been doing, hopefully, and keep it going, you know, which they will do a good job.
You know, when you realize you're closer to the finish line than you are to the starting gate, it's a sobering thought, but it's also something we all have to face, you know, because time does march on. So,
I got a picture up here on my wall I look at, you know, and it was taken after the Christmas celebration. Oh, quite a few years ago, Chris Constant and I took the picture behind houses. I think he took it. And there's a picture of me and Bill House and John Arena. This picture was. And he brought us all a framed copy of that picture. I mean, we all got that same picture in our offices. It's kind of funny that mine is right there, you know, John's. But I saw that picture and I talked to John and Bill both one time. A few weeks later, I said, saw once we're our dads. You know what I mean? Our dads were these faces at Western for a lot of years, and these guys are all gone, and all of us, we're the faces of Western. We're our dads now, you know? Yep. Happened in the blink of an eye.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? It's a big responsibility, I think, to carry that name and that legacy forward. Because if you look around, there are many people that have had a business handed down to them, and they did not manage things properly, and it just all went down the toilet. So I think it's a big responsibility, and I think it's an obligation not just to your family legacy, but to the town.
You know, we survived. That's what, that's what all of us downtown business people have done over the years. You know, we've all, you go back 35, 40 years now, we're not the same business we were now. You know, we've evolved, sure. To keep up with the times, we didn't have all the big box stores you've gotten mad to now to deal with. And,
sure.
You know, we've all figured out a way to survive and keep going. And,
absolutely. And we're very glad that you have figured that out, Bernie. Very glad. Well, thank you so much, Bernie. Do you have any contact information? You'd like to tell people how they could, what your physical address is and how they can find you on social media?
We're located in downtown Mattoon, 2001 Western in downtown Mattoon. We do have a Facebook page, just DBers Feed and Seed Facebook page, also Instagram as well. Those are the two that we use all the time, our social media. But you're always welcome to pop in and say hi. We love to see new faces, and we love to see old faces, and have people pop in and say hi. They don't have to buy anything. They can just pop in and buy some hot sauce or some dog food, either one, you know?
Well, yeah, you have a lot. Do you have your homemade hot sauces there? Do you sell those there?
I keep some barbecue seasonings that we came up with over the years. I've got four that are mine. I was going to do the hot sauces. We do sell hot sauces here and salsas, things like that as well. But I looked into doing a hot sauce one time. I just kind of backed away from it, and we just keep the seasonings here that we do. By you, Bernie, is this. But I get this place that makes them for us now. We don't make them ourselves. This place makes them for us. So, but they're called Bayou Burnings. That's what I call my kitchen. I like to cook, and it's kind of my therapy.
Oh, I bet.
My kitchen, trying new things. And,
I bet it is. Well, Bernie, you've been such a pleasure. I'm glad we finally got this together.
Yes.
You are worth the wait. And everyone, thank you for listening please stop in to see DeBure's Feed and Seed, Mattoon, and please be kind. Thanks for listening to Life on the Illinois Prairie, the undercurrents of our American life. If you haven't yet, go ahead and subscribe to Life on the Illinois Prairie wherever you get your podcast. Stay tuned for more stories, interviews, and updates. I'm your host, Wendy Fleming Dexter. Until next time.
Produced by AutoVita Studios. Connect your voice to the world.